Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net and Up and Under networks. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pels fans? Charlie and I are losing our minds. This is pretty much the best day of my life. The Pelicans, of course, brought home Zion Williamson, who now is famously coined Let's Dance, and it's already spreading like wildfire. David Griffin just wrapped up his press conference. He's already talking about it. Nobody else is getting traded that the Pelicans have acquired. So this is the foundation of our team. We have $30 million of cap space. Quickly, before I introduce our two guests, of course, in the first three selections after the deal with Atlanta, the Pelicans selected Zion at number eight. They took Jackson Hayes, and then they took Nickeil Alexander-Walker at 17. We're going to dive into everything, you guys, but most importantly, now we have $30 million worth of cap space, which means the Pelicans will be major players in free agency come June 30th at 6 p.m. Of course, they still need to talk about Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton, but I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm so excited, you guys. So let's go ahead and we're going to go to our associate editor. I don't even know what your title is. Let's go to David Fisher. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Been very busy tonight. Very exciting. Excited to see what this portends for the next 10 to 15 days as well. I did not expect the Pelicans to walk out of this draft with, by my calculations, $32 million in cap space.
Oh my God. I'm just getting giddy by all of this. David Griffin had a lot of great comments, talked about talking to Drew Holiday, who said he is giddy after tonight. We're also joined by Charlie Gonzalez. I think this is your third time on the program. I'm going to try to get your handle. I think it's CWG the second. Can you relay that out for us?
That's perfect. Good job.
Yeah, I still got it. I'm getting older, but some of those things still turn the right way. Charlie, obviously, you've had a couple beers. We are all on cloud nine right now. What was your initial reaction to Zion being selected and then bursting into tears about how excited he is to join the city of New Orleans?
I think that, Preston, we were just chatting briefly, and I think that this we equated this to being a nearly or honestly just better than, like, you know, winning a championship, winning a Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it, because you're it's a compounded win. Like, it feels like a victory while also looking towards a insanely bright future. It's like a brand new dawn while also doing a victory lap. It's overwhelming. I mean, you see the guy and all of a sudden, you know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, is just overwhelmingly exploding with joy about, how can you not root for this guy? All of a sudden everyone seems to be on the man wagon. Like all the negativity is gone. All the AD stuff, any of the old fatigue from the prior Pels regime, it just seems to have just melted away with Zion's tears.
It is the most exciting day to be alive, Fish. Here is what our depth chart looks like right now. Lonzo and Frank Jackson at the point. Drew Holiday eats one more. Josh Hart, Nickeil Alexander-Walker at shooting guard. Brandon Ingram, Kenrich Williams, and then we'll get to Marcos Luzada Silva. He's probably going to be a draft and stash. By the way, if you guys want any information on these players that the Pelicans have drafted today, go to thebirdrights.com. David Fish has been killing it over there. We've got Zion. We've got Christian Wood at the power forward. Jahlil Okafor, Jackson Hayes at center. Why don't we go over to Fish? Let's get your reaction to Zion, to his comments, to his levels of emotion. How could the Pelicans be any luckier than they are today to have nabbed him?
Well, I mean, we knew we were going to get him, but I think we saw more about the kind of person he was in the past week or so. And he comes off as a genuine 19-year-old who is not trying to build himself for his brand and is just comfortable in his own skin. And just in that respect, watching him break down in tears about, you know, the sacrifices that his mom made to get him to this point, knowing full well at this point that he's going to be able to provide for her, you know, for the rest of her life and for, you know, generations of the Williamson family at this point, and seeing how much that affects him was just, it left me speechless. It really did. I was so happy to watch him. My wife and kids were jumping up and down and around in our living room while we were doing that. And then from the first pick to the eighth pick, I was just playing basketball with my daughter while my 2-year-old son is holding on to my ankle. And just, I cannot be more excited about what we saw from Zion today. Passion that he has, the just want that he has, and just how pure he seems to us at this point, that he just wears his heart right on his sleeve, and he was willing to just open it up and share that with millions of people today on television, or better yet, that he couldn't help but do it. And
exactly
from that respect, and that was something that David Griffin repeated incessantly during his brief media session this evening, was that it's so much more than the stuff that goes on the court. And you saw the reports and the photos and everything from Fulton Street today, the huge party that they were throwing for the Pelicans in the draft, and just the excitement that he has drawn, which is several orders of magnitude greater than the reaction when the Pelicans were getting Anthony Davis roughly 7 years ago today. So I can't imagine a better start to his career at this point. And we're so excited to welcome him to New Orleans. And like David Griffin said, to the New Orleans Pelicans family.
Yeah, it's crazy the way that everything's coming together for him. I think you could argue there's not a better situation for him out there. We've got an established star, or on the fringe of a star. You've got a front office loaded with experience, championship caliber experience at every level, an upgraded facility soon to be if it hasn't been already. And then you've got a bevy of picks around you. You've got top five talent around you via the Los Angeles Lakers. Guys, we've got 21 questions. Before we get into those questions, just a few hours ago, Adrian Wojnarowski announced that the Pelicans had made a deal with the Atlanta Hawks. They gave the fourth pick for the eighth and the 17th pick. They also acquired their 35th pick, which we mentioned has already been selected. They traded their 39th pick for two more second round picks. So I think they have 6 second round picks via the Nuggets, the Wizards, the Bucks. The Bucks, and now they have these two from Golden State. So those, in addition to two additional picks from the Los Angeles Lakers, you guys, there is not a better situation in the NBA. I'm not sure there's ever been a better situation in the NBA, just in terms of starting from scratch, and then you add Drew Holiday to that. Let's go ahead and break down the parameters of the trade. We'll go back to Charlie. I was very high on DeAndre Hunter, but the reason that they traded back, they must have thought that there was a slip in talent from 4 to 8. They pick up the 17th pick by doing that. They pick up the 35th pick. They dump Solomon Hill, which is almost worth another first round pick in and of itself, because now it puts you at max level capacity, which is an even more exciting proposition to talk about. Charlie, what was your reaction to the deal?
Well, it's a deal that had to kind of evolve. I mean, you had to see who they were going to end up selecting. And I know that a lot of us were kind of somewhat perplexed when Jackson Hayes was the pick at 8. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't think that it could work out long term. I mean, personally, I've been preaching the trust Trajan. I know that Fish is on the same bandwagon. We all are firmly in the camp of these guys are our scouts. We hired them for a reason. They have done an excellent job building a culture in other avenues. And I think that they have earned the benefit of the doubt here. So we need to be like, okay, maybe I don't see it as much, but I think that we have to kind of go with that. But they, like you said, Preston, they got rid of Solomon Hill. They added Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is honestly one of the most interesting, compelling prospects in this draft. We've all been in love with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, his cousin, and he's extremely similar. He's a Buzz Williams player, and Buzz Williams players have been very successful in the recent NBA with Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler. I'm sure I'm forgetting some others off the top of my head, but you've got a successful template that they were able to follow while also adding more assets to the back line and really, really fleshing out the rest of the roster in ways that needed to be done. I'm just kind of overwhelmed when you see the kind of the sum. It's very similar to the AD deal when it first came out to me. You're like, okay, this initial reporting, you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, okay, Ball and Ingram, and then you see the picks, and then you see the protections and the deferrals. Well, this was similar to me, this deal with Atlanta, the way it evolved. And truthfully, I also want to give a quick shout to Atlanta, who I think killed it by getting Hunter and Reddish with their picks at 4 and I think it was 9 tonight, or 10, one or the other. But I think that they really did a phenomenal job. I mean, I can't imagine almost a better result given all the variables involved and the ability to go into free agency now armed with, like Fish said, $32 million to be able to play around and either go after a real player. I think Griff just said in his presser that he's extremely interested in culture fits, veteran players that are as important to get talented players, but talented players that fit within building the culture and building up this franchise to be more than just, you know, come in and play good basketball. And that's, I agree. It's equally as important. We've got the star, we've got the stud. I don't remember ever seeing a draft where they had a draft party that was as intoxicatingly fun to watch just from videos as the Fulton Street party that they threw for Draft Fest, dropping down a Zion banner upon, the selection of him and the streamers and the everything was just overwhelming. And I cannot recall in recent memory any draft selection garnering that much immediate energy from a fan base.
Now, if you guys aren't following Fish, you should do so at Fish_TBW. You are doing yourself a disservice tonight if you are not, because Fish just laid out something. With the selection of Marcos Luzada Silva, the Pelicans on opening night this season will have 11 players age 24 or under. The only two players above that, Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore at 29 and 30 years of age. Now, we're stacked, Fish. And here's a question that Charlie and I were discussing off the pod. Right now, there's not a lot of minutes to go around, because you've got a very talented and very deep roster, and you have to anticipate the Pelicans are going to dive into free agency. We'll talk about that later. Let's just tease that for now. So just thinking about Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jackson Hayes, would you anticipate these two guys to get significant minutes from the jump, or would you expect them to go out with Matt Breese and the Erie Bayhawks initially to start the season?
We don't know. That's the best answer I can give you, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks. What are they going to do with all that cap space? Are there more trades on the horizon that might open up more space? Because while we are invested in Frank Jackson, Christian Wood, Kenrich Williams, they were inherited by a new front office. And a lot of times you don't see those guys valued nearly as much when they're young and they have not yet established themselves as the young people that the new free agent, that the new front office has picked. So I don't know how many of those guys are going to stay on the roster, how many of them are, you know, just going to be, you know, rotational pieces coming up for the next year. There is a concern, a real concern of, are they too young at this point? Are the Pelicans too young at this point? Clearly, they need to bring in some vets. And honestly, that's the only thing that you would reasonably do with that cap space. But when you're looking at what the Pelicans have right now with all of these young guys, I am worried that there is not enough minutes available for guys who deserve playing time. Because I'm looking at the 12 guys that I expect, you know, the 12 guys the Pelicans have control over at this point. And I'm not including Silva in that number. I feel like Silva is almost assuredly a draft and stash candidate. Their pick with the 35th pick that they got from Atlanta, he's going to sign with some team in Europe, and the Pelicans are going to keep good track of him, you know, hopefully try to steer him to the right European team. But the rest of that roster, there's so many guys that you want to play. Because you could say that all 12 of the guys that they have should play some. So I would definitely feel like before we see the next moves, it feels like to me that Jaxson Hayes and Nickeil Alexander-Walker are going to spend more time in the G League than you might see a typical first round pick. That isn't necessarily to say that they're not good. It's just that the Pelicans would rather them get a lot of minutes and a lot of opportunity to develop. Rather than, hey, you can stay with the big club and you can practice and watch film with us and stuff. But when it comes to games, there's just not minutes available because I don't see a good avenue to getting them minutes unless more players that are currently on the roster are moved. Although the caveat behind that is I expect there's going to be more movement. We just don't know what that is and how that's going to shake up.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com, 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Definitely. And we're going to have another podcast tomorrow breaking down a little bit more in depth Jaxson Hayes, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. There's just too much to talk about right now. But one thing that we do need to touch on, Charlie, is all this newfound money. Like Fish was just teasing, the Pelicans have a lot of young players who need playing time, but they also need veteran leadership. And that's something that David Griffin has emphasized this offseason now three times, is he wants culture setters and he doesn't want people to just do it by example. He says he needs mouthpieces in the locker room to teach these young guys how to play basketball. And at this point, now that the draft is come and gone, it looks like that's going to have to happen in free agency. And now we know that the Pelicans are going to be targeting a big name, a significant player, maybe a couple of significant players. Obviously, they still need to talk to Elfrid Payton and Julius Randle. But there is going to have to be that vocal mouthpiece, that leader, that Jared Dudley, that Al Horford. Is there anybody you specifically have your eyes on right now?
Well, you hit it on that last one. Personally, I mean, I really, really like the idea of bringing in Al Horford. I don't know if it's remotely possible. I know that he just opted out of Boston and that there's already rumors discussing him going to Brooklyn with Kyrie. But I would love that kind of veteran presence next to Drew, next to Zion. I think that kind of guy would be phenomenal to have in that locker room. And also he fits with a lot of the positional and rotations that we would be able to do. I don't know if we could afford him because it would probably cost most of that $32 million cap space because he's likely going to be in high demand given that we've got Clay's already hurt, Durant's hurt, somebody's going to get paid, overpaid in various situations. So I think that is going to be tough. However, you know, we've seen – Jared Dudley's of the world be effusively praising David Griffin and the Pelicans throughout the early stages of the offseason so far. So, like, I feel like those kind of guys might be the backup plans if they miss out on a big fish, such as, you know, an Al Horford kind of player. Perhaps there's a Tobias Harris, something like that. One of those like second tier guys that might not be as targeted by the big market teams, but the Pelicans might feel they're a little more attainable if they overpay right now. Because let's be honest, right now is the time to go ahead and overpay a little bit, pay a premium while Zion is on his rookie deal, while Alexander Walker is going to be on their rookie deals. It is time to kind of push a little bit more money on the table, at least in my opinion, to pay that premium, to get those veterans in there, to kind of set the table and help lay the kind of foundations and the cornerstones for this franchise going forward.
You know, I wanted to follow that up with Fish. Obviously, I want to know specifically what position, what type of player you're looking at. And mostly, I'm wondering, Fish, because some of these guys like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball are going to have to get paid in the next year or two. It doesn't make sense to bring in somebody on a 3 to 4 year contract like something like Al Horford would command. It probably makes a bit more sense to front load somebody pretty heavily on a 2 year deal or less. Is that your line of thinking?
I wouldn't mind somebody on a 3 year deal because Brandon Ingram is kind of the joker of all of this because he's up for his deal next year. But if you get somebody, let's say it's on a 3 year deal, Zion Hayes and Nikhil Alexander Walker at the end of that third year are still all on their rookie deal with one more year to go. Drew Holiday, if he opts into his player option, is still under contract. And the only big free agent, internal free agent choices that you would have to make are Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart. So, we're excited to have these guys here, but I don't feel like all three of the Laker players that came in this trade are on this roster 3 seasons from now. I would be surprised, honestly, if it's more than one, and the one that I feel like has the greatest chance to stick would be Lonzo Ball, just because of the position that he has of need. So I would be fine with a 3 year deal, like a really front loaded deal in year one going down, if it's the right guy. Like if you throw a huge contract down on Charlie's suggestion on Al Horford and it's descending for 3 years, but it's something, it's like a big number. It's, you know, 375, 380, something like that, but it's descending. That wouldn't be a terrible deal in my outlook. But outside of that, in terms of the things that you need, and you don't know if any of these other players that are on the roster are going to be moved. I suspect some may. But what I'm looking at is the Pelicans really need, one, they need a shooting big man, because they don't have a big man that can spread the floor very well, although I am very high on Christian Wood. And two, they need another ball handler, because right now you're looking at the point guard depth is Lonzo Ball and then a whole bunch of combo guards that really aren't point guards. Your Frank Jackson's a combo guard. Drew Holiday can definitely handle the time at point guard, but prefers to be off the ball. Etwan Moore is not a point guard. Nikhil Alexander Walker, if he's playing much at all in the NBA, is a secondary or tertiary creator, you know, towards his ceiling. He's not going to be a point guard. So you need a lead ball handler that can back up Lonzo Ball. And you can definitely talk me into Elfrid Payton being that guy, unless you can get someone better. And then a shooting big man. And if you can't get, you know, the cream of the crop in Al Horford, I think the next step down from that, unless you're getting maybe Brook Lopez is available, depending on how much you're willing to lay down, but he might be looking for a situation where he can win right away. The other option is, can we bring back Nikola Mirotic as a shooting big man and then just scour the market and see what kind of, you know, other point guard, lead ball handler, you know, initiator you can get if Elfrid, you know, doesn't want to come back cheap. Or it kind of felt like a lot of the time that maybe Alvin Gentry isn't the biggest Elfrid Payton fan. So maybe get him another point guard that he would like to work with along with Lonzo Ball. So those are the two areas right now. And it's not necessarily a position, a big man who can shoot that is either hypothetically a power forward or a center, and then a lead ball handler that can be the initiator of your offense, probably off the bench, who functions as a backup to Lonzo Ball.
Yeah,
those are the two areas that I would be hunting.
mean, the Pelicans probably have enough cap space right now to bring in both Ricky Rubio and Brook Lopez, and conceivably probably still Julius Randle if they wanted to. Obviously, that's shooting for the moon with three players, but they have a lot of wiggle room right now. Fish, this is going to be your last question. Then I'm going to throw one to Charlie, and then we're going to wrap up. I know Nikhail is your guy. Why don't you give us a quick like 30 to 60 seconds on why you like him?
What I watched of Nikhail Alexander Walker is he's kind of just a lesser level of Jarrett Culver, who was one of my high targets in the draft. He's a combo wing that can do it all. He had to do a lot of primary creating when he was at Virginia Tech. He Buzz Williams, the names you named of Buzz Williams, Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, and now Nikhail Alexander Walker, you're talking about all high level individual defenders and high IQ players. And that's something that I love. Hey, let's bring in somebody who's a high IQ player. And he improved greatly behind the arc. Last season, he was shooting over 38% from three. So he projects that he can play well in the NBA, and he's going to defend. He's going to create. He's got the IQ. It's not that he doesn't have minuses. He's a little undersized. You know, if you're thinking of him as a small forward, he's 6'5" and a little bit more. But he does have a long wingspan at 6'9". But when you're looking at what you can get at 17, he projects as somebody who can be, you know, a high level role player if he hits his ceiling, somebody who can be your seventh or sixth man.
All right, let's go over to Charlie. Charlie, you're buzzing with excitement, so I'm going to let you take us out. David Griffin said during his press conference, he said, "You're not going to know in advance of how the dots are going to connect, but they will." So this just seems to indicate that there are more moves coming and that everything is going to fit together. He used the word synergy during his press conference probably 5 times. What do you think David Griffin is teasing?
Oh, gosh. I wish I knew. I really do. I wish I could make any sort of guess at this point. I feel like I'm at the end of like 2001, A Space Odyssey, where there's just like the entire universe is like flashing in front of my eyes. And I'm just trying to make sense of it all while I'm becoming a child.
Let me try it like this, Charlie. He asked us to trust him. He said the same thing to Drew Holiday. Do you, based on everything that's happened this offseason, how can you not trust what he's doing?
How can you not? It's you almost want to put a level of faith into it, because I mean, just the amount, everything that has happened since Gale put everything in his ownership and in his ability to take control, to be able to have the bandwidth. Yes, take a drink. To be able to handle everything. Then I think everything that has been given to him ever since then has just, it's been almost unbelievable. Like we talked ad nauseum about how Langdon was such an interesting idea. We'd love to have him. And then all of a sudden, bam, we get Trajan Langdon. And then we get arguably the best training staff, the head of the best training staff of the past 20 years with Aaron Nelson, which is solving one of the greatest problems within the New Orleans franchise has had consistently. He goes out and hires an interesting and outside the box person to come with Swing Cash, and then of course Zion happens. You know, it just happens, and then it's all rolling downhill in all the best ways. It feels like this is just like a snowball of David Griffin that you just can't stop. It's intoxicating, truthfully.
The people aren't the only ones who are excited. Christian Wood said, "Don't sleep on me." Josh Hart said, "Look out, we got a squad here." Nola, I'm going to read this monologue real quick that Steve Gleason posted to Zion Williamson's feed, and then I'm going to take us out. Steve said, "This city breeds and attracts unique, outrageous people. Bedraggled people who are honest enough to consecrate their shortcomings. Innovative people who see opportunities where others see chaos. Humble people who honor the mosquito and the cockroach. Transparent people who will share with you whether you like it or not. Persistent people who rebuild when their city or their lives fall apart. Fierce people who protect what they love and love a great deal. I helped win the first playoff game in Saints history. I have a Super Bowl ring and a 9-foot statue outside my old office, the Superdome. But what I enjoy most about New Orleans is the infatuated, idealist citizens and pervasive entirely nourishing culture of family. Love y'all, Steve and Norlinian. If you can't get excited for New Orleans basketball after everything that has happened tonight and everything that's going to continue happening, I just can't imagine a better state of a franchise with everything that we've gone through in the past year. How we got to this point is a story in and of itself. We're going to be back with you guys tomorrow. Don't forget to follow Fish at Fish_TBW at CWG the second for Charlie Gonzalez. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. We're going to be with you guys early and often throughout the offseason. There is so much more to talk about. We're going to be at Summer League reporting with Kevin and Ollie. And I know Fish will be there with us in spirit talking to Nikhail. For now, you guys, there's so much to be excited about. Let's keep rolling. Let's go, Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net, and Up and Under podcast networks. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
Get to Old Navy for the biggest sale of the year. Up to 60% off all back-to-school styles for kids and baby. Get flip-flops for $2, graphic tees for $4, shorts for $6, and jeans for $8. Right now, get the best kids' styles at kid-size prices. Just $2, $4, $6, and $8. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store free today. Up to 60% off all kids and baby styles now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 7/29 to 8/11. Select styles. Excludes in-store clearance. Get to Old Navy for the biggest sale of the year. Up to 60% off all back-to-school styles for kids and baby. Get flip-flops for $2, graphic tees for $4, shorts for $6, and jeans for $8. Right now, get the best kids' styles at kid-size prices. Just $2, $4, $6, and $8. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store free today. Up to 60% off all kids and baby styles now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 7/29 to 8/11. Select styles. Excludes in-store clearance.